Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, bro.
Wow, not, who sang?
Well, it's not Joe Farini.
Wow.
Although he's probably singing along. Again, it's that time of week. Joe and Cindy Farini with their weekly My Marriage Matter segment. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I see you've picked out an easy, light Monday topic today from one of your writers.
Well, it really goes well with so much of what you've been talking about.
It really does. Yeah,
so it was a smooth ride right into this question.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, dive right in. Tell us what someone wrote to you and asked.
Okay, they said this. We have a relative who's entered into a same-sex marriage. We are at various family events, holidays, etc., to which we have been invited. And we're wondering how to handle this situation because it's caused some rift in the family. Now, we don't know if it's a rift between this couple that's asking the question or if it's a rift like in the whole family. Everyone's kind of into the drama of things. We don't know. But I guess we could just start off by just taking this particular issue, if you will, and saying that what the things that we're going to say is probably going to be easily translated really to many other parts of life. So for instance, if you have somebody who is a couple that's living together and unmarried, if you have someone who has a gambling addiction, if you have someone who's an alcoholic or someone who's into drugs, even though they're all various different things, they're issues that we're going to be confronted with in life that we're going to have to really begin to take a stand on as a Christian. And yet my question would really be, what is our acceptance and what is our response to whatever is going on? So we'll take this particular question. And my thought would be, we as Christians have a responsibility. And I want to love those around me. I won't do it perfectly, but that is my goal. Scripture says, they'll know us as Christians by our love. So, will I accept someone to come to my home if they are a gambler? Yes. If they're gay? Yes, I will. I will do those things because I want to love them and I love people. And then I got to thinking, I bet there's been Christians in my life that wouldn't invite me to their house because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And right. So I would like to be included and I would like to be accepted just because they love me, even if they don't like my lifestyle and the way that I am representing my life. And then, of course, certainly that I want to represent the Lord. So at least for me personally, I want to welcome to my home people who are different than me. And yet, we'll get into this in a little bit, and yet, I am going to have a stand because of who I am in Christ as a Christian.
Well, and with that said then, so you may have convinced somebody, okay, fine, I'll let them come over. So they ring the doorbell, you open it up, hey, good to see you. So anyway, before you come in, let's just be clear on something. Here's where I stand on gay marriage according to the Bible,
right.
Okay? Anyway, come on. Is that a good move?
Oh, gosh, I sure hope nobody would do that. I hope that by our actions and by our caring for them, they would see Christ in us. I know some people who love the Lord who are gay, and I know some people who love the Lord who have other, if you will, issues in their lives. And you know what? I'm one of them. I am not perfect. I'm not saying that we give license to every sin that's out there. And you know what? When I sin, I need to go to the Lord and I need to confess that sin. And I need Jesus. But I am not going to want to know Jesus if someone is coming to me and just saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And yet we need to recognize that sin does tell us that there is something wrong in our lives that we need Jesus for.
Amen.
It's so tricky because I know your heart because we're dear friends. And I agree with you, but I know that a lot of people struggle with knowing how do we love and engage the same way as we love and engage anybody who's living in any other sin. But where does it end? Like, at what point do we know I'm compromising my convictions?
Absolutely.
Yes. And I want Joe to answer this because he has some great scriptures to use with this to teach us. But I do just want to say that I want for people to feel welcomed into my life. And I think we will miss out on some very wonderful and special people if all we do is set rules that say you can't come in unless you're just like me, because then I'd never have anybody walking into my door, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, why don't you share? What's that?
You'd be kicking out Joe too.
Yeah.
Oh. If you're living outside. Well, again, I think what Cindy is saying is absolutely true. I mean, number one, we need to recognize in an uncompromising way that we recognize that same-sex marriage is wrong. It was never part of God's original blueprint for building marriages. But as your guests said in the last half hour, and as you folks have said in the first half hour, that we need to establish common ground. And we need to be able to establish and open a dialogue that we would begin to create an environment, if you will, in that relationship that would be conducive to seeing these people come to a point of receiving Christ, being repentant and coming to Christ. And so what I would do in answering this question, what would you do? What would we recommend to this couple? I would say, number one, you want to follow the standard or the examples that Jesus gave to us. And it was amazing as I went through the New Testament and even some of the Old Testament passages, there are many examples throughout Scripture of how to deal with difficult situations and difficult people. And I'll just give a couple here and an example of how Jesus dealt with difficult situations in those groups of people who were, if you will, ostracized or looked down upon by the religious people of his day. And I'll give two examples. But the first group, of course, was the Samaritans. I mean, in John 4, we read about how Jesus had this encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. And as you recall, I mean, it was never acceptable for a Jew to interact with Samaritans. But it's a wonderful story in John 4. But the bottom line result of the consequences of Jesus meeting with the Samaritan woman is that not only does she become a believer in Christ, but many in her city believed in Jesus because of the testimony of this woman. Now, if Jesus followed the thinking of his contemporaries, his religious contemporaries, that never would have happened. Another example, actually Janelle, I think she gave this example earlier in the first half hour, of where Jesus proactively engaged with a person who was looked down upon by the religious people of his day, is found in John 8. And you know, the scribes and the Pharisees bring to Jesus this woman caught in adultery. And, of course, the religious people of his day, they were ready to stone her for her sinful ways. But Jesus' response to the religious people was, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." At which point in time, the religious people threw down the stones and left the scene. And then this woman, she repents. And so, again, but also recognize that Jesus never supports or he never endorses an adulterous lifestyle. So the question again becomes, where does this couple start, this couple who's asking the question? Well, I think they start by conforming to the image and the examples given by Christ. And as they are examples of Christ to those who are now in this case scenario, this same-sex relationship, they're going to be more likely to be the potential to see them come to repentance and come to Christ. And, I mean, imagine what the consequences would be if every time they attended one of these family events. That sounds like a very fun family here. But every time they came to one of those family events, they would always bring their huge coffee table Bible with them. And, you know, they start yelling at these people at the top of their lungs and telling them that you need to repent or, you know, call them other names as well. I know I personally wouldn't want to be around those people either.
Yeah.
So I think we can find a common ground, and we don't have to be you know, these pompous religious people who just refuse to open the ground to demonstrating grace and love and mercy to people.
Yeah, and you know, I find it interesting how difficult we make this question, and yet we willingly welcome gossips into our home. And we willingly are like, oh, you know, they're living with their girlfriend. Shouldn't be doing that. But come on, it's Thanksgiving, you know.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm
not sure. You know what? Why do you think we've made this particular issue such a thing?
Yeah, I think we put things on a tier level. This is worse than that, and that's worse than this, and this isn't so bad. And I think most people, and I have to think about it, I probably would be one of them too, and I probably do it according to my justification of what I think is okay, and then I do it maybe according to, like, well, what do I have going on in my life that I want to justify and say, well, it's not the same as that, so mine isn't so bad.
Yeah.
And that's not true. I mean, we have to recognize that we all have a need for Jesus. We all do.
Yeah.
But no one's going to come to Jesus if we're just saying, you've caused a rift in our family because of your lifestyle. There is a fine line between the idea of welcoming versus accepting. And I feel that, sin is not to be accepted, but, you know, in our own life, we need to come to Jesus when we have our own sin issues and say, Lord, will you help me overcome this?
Right.
And so that's not our job to overcome it for somebody else. That's our job to come to the Lord. And, you know, we hear stories all the time. I know all of our listeners do, of people who have come to the Lord and have changed their things in their life, whether it's quitting, you know, being angry or other, you know, things in their life because they've come to a new place. But then, you know, as soon as you get one thing, if you will, accomplished in the Lord, well, guess what? He will reveal another
something
one
else,
because none of us is perfect,
yeah,
you know.
That's right.
Joe, you wanted to say something? Joe?
I think one of the primary jobs that we need to do in these situations is we need to try to create an environment that is conducive to, you know, making these people more receptive to come to a point of repentance and receiving Christ. And if you think your approach of hitting them over the head with the Bible is the right way to do it, you're in a dream world. That is just not the way it's going to happen. But, you know, and on the other hand, I want to be balanced here, right? And I mean, we should never be ashamed or hesitant or reluctant to be able to take a stand and be willing to make a defense for the faith that we have in us, and so that none should perish. I mean, but there is enough biblical precedent here to demonstrate that most likely what Jesus would do in this situation is he would show love and mercy and grace to them. And so I think our position needs to be very clear. It needs to be uncompromising, but there still can be a lot of loving and care and kindness shown towards these people. And, you know, I love Romans 2:4, probably was the best scripture verse I can come up with in this run, Romans 2:4. And we just need to keep this exhortation alive in our minds when we think of what we're talking about here, is that in Romans 2:4, it talks about that the kindness of God is what leads others to repentance.
That's right.
and not hitting people over the head with the Bible.
Yeah.
That's not going to do it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to toss in one question we had come in by text. Somebody's asking, how do you prepare your children for these situations? So you've agreed, they should come in. Now, how do you tell your 8-year-old?
Yes, that's a good question. And one of the things I was going to interrupt here with was, how will we respond if our children come home, whether it's the topic of I'm gay, or it's a topic of I've decided to do thus and such, and it's not according to scripture, it's not biblical. And our kids are going to be watching us, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're going to be watching us for our example. So how would I address this with the children? I think I would make this a very teachable moment. And maybe 8 years old, you're going to have to share things in a different way than you would with a 10, 12, or 15-year-old, you know, so you have to make sure that it's understandable to their level. But I would say in my home, I want to welcome everyone. Now, I want to say I want my home safe. So that isn't to say we're going to let in, you know, bad people who are doing bad things to hurt us, okay?
Yeah.
They're not welcome. Our home is a place of safety. But in a case like this, I would make an example of what is our lifestyle? What will we accept in terms of, yes, you're welcome to our home, but there are certain rules. Maybe I wouldn't have them staying as a couple in my home. I would explain to my children that God has put together scripturally a man and a woman to marry, and yet we want to love these people because we just love them because Jesus loves them.
Yep.
And so I would take it at their level. I'd be very careful not to give them, you know, the level 401 version of what you would want to say, but you're giving them the entry level class of teaching them. And you know what? I don't think any of us will go wrong if we love one another.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we accept everything.
It's 7:22. We have about a minute left. Any final thoughts for us on this complicated topic?
Well, I guess just to go back to the beginning and say again, they'll know us by our love. And we need to stand with our family lovingly and firmly and kindly. And I think that's how we should be with guests who come into our home. Yeah. And if I need to set some rules that will establish what I believe, that's okay. But I do that in love. And I don't think we're going to go wrong if we represent Jesus as love, because that's who he was.
Absolutely.
Amen to that. Joe and Cindy Farini again with their weekly My Marriage Matters segment. You can find out more about them by searching for My Marriage Matters on Facebook. And you guys are online as well, right?
Yes. If you'd like to come to our website, it's joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com. We have our direct email there. There's a little tab they can hit right there and it says contact, and they can contact us.
Excellent. Thanks, you too. I always appreciate you.
Thank you. Right. Thank you both.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thanks.